Welcome, everybody, to Redacted on this Tuesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we seek the truth wherever it may lead us. We usually cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. We've got a couple of big stories that the mainstream media has been ignoring for about 10 days now. We're going to look at Chernobyl in Ohio and what in the world is going on with this chemical explosion of this derailed train. Really interesting pieces that have been coming together this afternoon. We will have a live report from that area in East Palestine, Ohio. So a lot of really interesting, really troubling things for the people living there who have now permanently evacuated and said, I don't think I'm ever coming back because I can't trust my garden. I can't trust my water. The whole town is destroyed, essentially.
It's not just for people in that region because the Ohio River feeds into the Mississippi River. So this is going to affect people all along the eastern seaboard. We're going to show you the maps. We're going to show you what happened and show you who may have been responsible for what.
Edward Snowden weighing in on the big UFO invasion story. And again, once again, the United States government holding secret meetings today, classified behind the doors meetings about this UFO invasion and what concerns they have. We'll talk about all of that and why I believe it's a total distraction. And I agree with Edward Snowden, or Edward Snowden watches our show and agrees with us. I don't know. We'll unpack it, but that's coming up a little bit later.
Plus, Google wants to inoculate you. These are literally the words that they use against disinformation and misinformation. And they are going to be rolling out these pre-bunking videos, but they say they don't last for very long because people forget. So you're going to need pre-bunking boosters. So you'll be inoculated against misinformation, but you'll need boosters. Does that sound familiar? Not anything else. I like those words less and less every day.
God. You know, it's funny.
I'm so glad Google's out there. I'm so glad Google's out there protecting my best interests.
Yeah.
Yes.
I really appreciate that. Yeah. Google, thanks.
Well, we're going to show you where they've started. Like, what is their cause de celeb? You know, of all the problems in the world that you can, latch onto for misinformation, like maybe scams against elderly people. Do you think they started there?
No.
You can put your guesses in the chat, and we're going to get to it in a few segments.
All right. So with all of that and more, we've got a lot of news to cover. Redacted starts right now. Someone in our Rumble chat, ain't woke, don't fix it, says FUD, 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 FUD. That's exactly what they're talking, and that's exactly what's going on. And, you know, the reason we call it that, you know, something big is happening, and they're trying to distract us. That is exactly what's happening. Like, this title of tonight's show could not be more accurate. Oh, shit, something big is happening, and they're trying to distract us. That's literally what, and that's exactly what Edward Snowden just said. And all you need to do is look. All you need to do is look at what's happening in Ukraine over the past 48 hours and see where they want your attention. So again, this is really, really troubling. And don't you forget, 3 years ago, almost to the day, is when they pulled off the last big thing that they tried to pull on us, like the last major thing where we're going to go into lockdowns. Everyone's got to get a shot. Your business will now end. We're going to consolidate power in the hands of a few people.
Your kids won't be learning how to read.
Right. So it's only 3 years removed. Like, we have short memory, like, sometimes.
No, I don't. Because I, for the last couple of years, have been thinking about, well, at this time last year, I wasn't able to do this. Oh, that's nice. We're able to do this. For instance, my son has his first soccer game, football game. I just got a nasty email about that. In the newsletter, okay. Football versus soccer. And he never was able to play in the first year he joined the team. And we're like, oh, you get a tournament this year. You get it.
You can actually play soccer.
I wonder if the rest of you are like me, just like going through the things that we can have now.
Yeah. Well, you know what you can have, which is, it's Happy Valentine's Day. So Happy Valentine's Day to all of you guys out there. All of you ladies out there. Hope you guys are having a good date night gathered up watching Redacted with us. We've got about 40,000 of you right now. So hope this is
that's fun.
So we'll try to. We're lovers, so we'll try to love you. You know, we're loving people here. I got a really nasty email from someone last night, called me really, really nasty things. And I thought, who took the time to literally sit down at a computer and type this out to another human being? Like, that person is not lowering entropy in the world. That person is adding to the entropy and the chaos. Like,
okay, you can tell about this email and I can't talk about how I got a nasty email about soccer.
Well, I thought you were going to tell a school story and I didn't want to hear that.
Why can't we hear your stories and not mine?
Happy Valentine's Day.
That's so rude.
We're married. So anyway, we have a daily newsletter.
I wonder if people caught how he like went like this and brushed me off to stop telling.
Because
no,
I thought
story.
You were going to go down a whole rabbit hole about the school and something. Somebody saying that this and that.
You were
and
going
it was like
down
a parent
a
teacher
hole?
Thing, and I just didn't want to hear it. I hear it all day long. I thought save it for lunchtime. Hey, we have a daily newsletter that you can gather and download if you go to. Go to redacted.inc. It's a newsletter written by my lovely wife, who's sitting adjacent to me right now and is kicking me under the table. Redacted.inc. All you do, go there, not.com, and you put in your email address, and then you'll receive a welcome email, and then tomorrow morning you'll get a fantastic newsletter where we cover about 5 or 6 big stories of the day. We cover things you might have missed overnight. We try to do it with a little humor, try to make you laugh a little bit, but we're going to cover stories that the mainstream media does not want you to hear about. So we've been covering what's going on in Ethiopia and Syria, what's been happening in Ukraine, all of it. And we cover that in the morning newsletter that, again, you can read in about 5 minutes. So redacted.inc is the place to go. So moving on.
Are we moving on? You'll pay for that one later.
The kick heard around the world.
That's right. Let me get some coffee in me first. I hope everyone's doing well on this. Anybody have Valentine's Day plans? I mean, I know. Look, it's a Hallmark holiday and the whole thing. And like, it's just nice. Say something nice to your spouse, your partner.
Well, also, it's super fun for the kids. Mm-hmm. Like, they exchange, little niceties in a classroom with some candy. And they get super excited. And then... our daughters, they got home and they made new Valentines for everyone in the house. You want to hear this story? I'm just going to keep going.
I don't want to hear this story. All right. You want to hear this story? All right, let's talk about this story because let's get to some news. All right. So this is Chernobyl happening in the United States right now. Those are the words being shared all across social media and around the world about a train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, not far from where I used to live in Ohio. These are the words being said in China on social media in China and on Chinese television. But over the past 48 hours, if you turned on television in China or read social media in China, you would have seen amazing images of the Ohio train derailment that involved 50 trains. 10 of these train cars were carrying highly toxic chemicals known as vinyl chloride, among other chemicals we'll get to. These cars were burning for days, shooting highly toxic chemicals into the air, creating a dark plume of smoke that could be seen from outer space, by the way. Yeah, it was seen from outer space. And so this coverage could be readily accessed in China. And they're rightly saying or calling this America's Chernobyl event, where a town could permanently be devastated, people never coming back home again. This part of Ohio could be ruined for years, waterways ruined. We won't know the full extent of it yet. And we might not for years, by the way. And in fact, the word Chernobyl trending on Twitter this afternoon. Here it is. Hundreds of thousands of tweets all about Chernobyl. But turn on your television in the United States, and the coverage was and has been total silence on this story. The Ohio train derailment on the major media networks. Total blackout. Instead, focus on fake UFO invasion, all in an effort to draw us into a war with Russia and China. Now, just watch last night. I'm going to show you the full introduction of the NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. This is the Monday edition. Okay. This is 9 days after this has happened. Everyone's talking about it on social media. We all know it's happened, but the mainstream media is ignoring the story. This is the top of their show where they lay out the whole 30-minute broadcast and see if you notice what's missing. Watch.
Tonight, the growing mystery and the race to recover those unidentified objects shot down by U.S. fighter jets. Defense Secretary Austin saying today they were a threat to civilian aircraft. 3 objects shot down over North American airspace in the last 3 days. But the questions, what are they and who may have sent them? And the unreal moment at today's briefing as the White House seeks to put to rest questions about extraterrestrial activity. Also tonight, the violent U-Haul rampage in New York City striking pedestrians. 8 injured, some critically. What we're learning about the driver now in custody. The double storm threat packing snow and powerful winds, we're tracking it. The new miracle rescues, even as the death toll soars to 35,000 in the earthquake that hit Turkey and Syria. The 13-year-old boy pulled from the rubble today, more than 180 hours after disaster struck. The warning from NATO, a new Russian offensive long in planning is now underway in Ukraine. Our Richard Engel in a city under siege. A terrifying plane plunge. Why did a United Airlines flight nearly nosedive into the Pacific Ocean? And the celebration in Kansas City after the Chiefs' thrilling Super Bowl win.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
All right.
So, anything missing? Well, at least we got the storms that are happening, and the Chiefs. We got the Kansas City Chiefs story.
What's crazy about that?
No mention.
Last night, I started watching Newsroom again, and there's the part where they're talking about like this major story. It's like, it's only yellow, and he's like, they don't want to report the story of the I can't remember exactly what the story is, but it's like they probably know this story, they know what's going on, but they chose to ignore it.
Yes. Yeah. It's not like they're idiots. You've got a room full of 100 people that work on that show. It's their highest rated news broadcast. They know what's going on. They have affiliates in Ohio, in Cleveland.
Sure.
Nearby in Pittsburgh, where this is nearby, they know what's going on. They're choosing to ignore it. Why ignore the story? We'll come back to that in a moment. So what the hell is going on in Ohio?
Well, maybe because it started to sort of stink of conspiracy on the internet. And then I feel like news producers now, if they see anything that stinks of conspiracy, they just throw it away. They won't instead unpack it and say, well, is there something there? I mean, I've been guilty of that in the past too. Things I didn't want to look at because they felt like...
Everyone watching right now has done that. We're like, oh, I don't want to look into that. I've got enough going on.
But that's not an excuse for national news producers. When you see the images of this, this is not a story that you can explain why you ignored it. Let's just go through the timeline of what happened and what justification there is for why it happened. The derailment happened on February 3rd in East Palestine, Ohio. There was actually 20 cars full of chemicals. Here is the crash site. So this is just the crash before the burn. Video from a warehouse along the track shows that it was on fire for at least 20 miles. So this is a warehouse, and their security footage caught this image of a train going by, and you'll see
this video obtained by our news partners at
go ahead and play the audio.
By a security camera at an equipment manufacturing plant in Salem, Ohio, some 20 miles from East Palestine. You can see what appear to be sparks or flames under one of the cars as it passes the plant.
So that looks bad. That means that it was flaming for at least 20 miles, because this footage is 20 miles from the crash site. So as it was going along, you'd hope somebody sort of caught that, but nobody did. The derailment, though, is not what caused the explosion. The rail company called Norfolk Southern is what caused the explosion. They told residents the weekend after the crash that they would be blowing up the site in what they called a controlled breach. Here is their website with updates just a few days after the crash. The one on the bottom was the first update, and then the update you see on the top. They said, we put together a plan to manually vent the cars. What they mean by vent the cars is blow them up, like get air inside of them. It said this will be done in a controlled fashion. To protect the environment, we have prepared pits and embankments to drain the material into which will then be remediated. When it is safe to do so, the manual release of pressure will be via a controlled breach of several rail cars and under the supervision of experts and first responders. This will be loud and visible, they said. Should have maybe put an exclamation point. I'm sorry it's so light that the text is not darker. Some of the material, they say, will burn off as it drains for a short number of hours. And we have been and will continue monitoring air quality with the Ohio EPA. Afterwards, cleanup work on the site can safely continue. And then there's this update where they say, okay, we did it, you know. Rail cars have been successfully under the supervision of experts and first responders. Some of the material is now burning off consistent with expectation from earlier models and is expected to drain for a short while. So, which is interesting. So what they're saying here about the scientific models is they like drew up some estimates of what it would look like to burn these, to blow them up. And they figured, okay, it's going to be this bad. Let's do it. And the way that they word it here makes me think, the way they say some of the material is now burning consistent with the models, meaning, whoa, it was a heck of a bigger explosion than we had anticipated. But now it's the size the models predicted.
Can you, I mean, just look at that photo. I mean, that's unbelievable. Can you imagine, like, your kids in school, like, down the road from that?
No.
Nothing to see here. No problem here at all. And I love that they, in their press release, they're basically saying, oh, you'll be able to see it. You'll probably be able to see it. What they should have put in there is you'll be able to see it from the moon.
Yeah, loud, you know, and visible is what they say.
When I photo on Twitter, I actually thought, because I was like, okay, there's this thing going on. I thought that cloud was photoshopped in.
It does
until I
look
actually
like
saw
that.
The photo, because it looked like it was not part of that photo. I was like, holy cow, that is real.
Yeah, it looks fake. I mean, it literally looks like a mushroom cloud, like someone just dropped a bomb, or like some television show, like Jericho or something like that. In fact, there was a television show on Netflix called White Noise that was set in East Palestine. And isn't that amazing?
Yes, I'm going to tell you about it.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a little bit later then. Because a short time ago, I spoke to Nick Sordor, who just arrived in East Palestine, Ohio, to report on what was happening there. Let's listen to what I talked about with Nick. Watch. Well, joining us now from East Palestine, Ohio, is Nick Sordor. He's a U.S. political strategist who just got to East Palestine just a few hours ago and has been touring the crash site and speaking to the people there locally. Nick, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Clayton.
So you're literally right where the crash happened. Can you tell us what you're seeing, and we'll talk about what the people are saying in the town as well?
Sure. So right behind me here, you can actually see a lot of the remnants of the explosion that happened here 10 days ago. There is still a lot of work in progress. You've got Norfolk Southern has a huge recovery operation here. Mainly, it seems, according to the people, because they just want their tracks reopened. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense. What we're not seeing is a large response from the federal government. I have not seen anybody with the EPA or any other of the alphabet soup agencies here on the ground. Right over here is, you know, where you'll see that there's an actual intersection, and it actually happened right there. That is where the train car exploded.
And it doesn't appear to be like a lot of action there. Have they been trying to keep you away from that site?
To an extent. So I was actually able to cross over there before. I was actually able to drive through, and then they put this on it. I guess they didn't like me doing that. But I was able to do that before, and I was actually able to talk to some of the property owners around there and get their sentiments on what was going on. In particular, the property that is closest to where the explosion happened. I was able to have about a 30-minute conversation with her, and she was able to...
What did she say?
She basically expressed the fact that the town has just been totally upended here. It's a small town. This is the epitome of small town America right here. This is the biggest shakeup they've ever had. Those were her words. People don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle it. They feel like they've just been abandoned here by the federal government. And they feel like they're about to get screwed because they don't trust their water sources anymore. They don't trust their own gardens anymore. One of the ladies I talked to said that she wasn't ever going to plant anything in her garden ever again and felt like she needed to move her kids and her grandkids out of the town. And they're seriously worried that this town is going to die for this reason.
Of course, you know, and the reason I think one of the reasons you probably went there is because this has been silent. There's been no coverage of this. Watching the mainstream media newscasts last night, no coverage of this, no discussion of this. In fact, the word Chernobyl, America's Chernobyl, has been trending on Twitter over the past 24, 48 hours, that this could be the equivalent of, what happened in Ukraine with nuclear fallout. Is that the sense that you're getting from talking to the people there, that they really feel like they might have to leave this town altogether?
They absolutely do, because the issue that they're most fearful of is what are the long-term health ramifications here? because as you've seen with so many other, like Monsanto, that's that lawsuit there, it took years and years and years, and it was really difficult for them to prove, and a lot of people never even got paid out. The lady that I spoke to right over here that owned that property compared it. She said, this is our Camp Lejeune. And that is, it's probably very true. I mean, they think that this is going to be totally covered up. They have not been able to get in contact with anybody since the governor did that press conference here that one time. You know, Mike DeWine did his rounds to, you know,
right.
You know, make it look good, soften the blow or whatever. And then after that, just radio silence from everybody. They're getting no support here at all. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that the media aren't, they're not here. They're not here. I'm the only one around here by myself. I haven't seen a single camera anywhere.
It's really unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And you described just from a few hours there, can you describe the air quality you were talking about? It's bringing tears to your eyes. Can you explain what you're smelling, what you're seeing?
As soon as you get into the town, actually, it's probably in about a 5-mile radius. There is a very sweet, chemically smell, right? It almost smells like burning rubber, if you know what burning rubber smells like.
Right.
But it's very overwhelming. It tickles the back of your throat. And yes, my eyes were watering for the first, you know, hour and a half. The thing that I pointed out on Twitter anyway, and a lot of people understand this, is after a while, you kind of get used to a smell.
Right.
And so these people here may not be actually having that sense of smell of this toxicity that's in the air right now. And that's just going to be terribly lethal in the long run. You know?
So have you seen...
They don't even know what they're breathing.
What are the businesses open downtown? You're very close to the downtown there in East Palestine. Again, a small town. Are businesses open? Are people actively commuting to and from work? Does it look like it's still business as usual or not?
No, there is very light traffic around here in general. There are a lot of people that have not come back yet. The evacuation orders were lifted, I believe earlier, or it was within the past week. And there are myriads of people, according to people that I have talked to, where, you know, their friends won't come back. You know, they're scared. They're scared, right. And they're getting no reinsurance from anybody. And so, yes, there are a lot of businesses downtown that are closed. And, you know, it's sort of like, it's almost eerie. It's almost eerie. The majority of people in this town are, you know, here at this disaster site.
Nick, thank you so much for joining us. I know taking some time out as you're making your way around the town. Thank you for taking a few minutes to speak with us. We really appreciate it. I mean, please be safe. I mean, this is, of course, a major concern about the air quality and I know the water quality is another big issue there with some of these chemicals. There's word, of course, that some of these chemicals could bind to water particles and basically stay in the water table for years to come. What are they saying before we let you go? Are they saying anything about the drinking water there before we let you go?
Yes, that's a great question. The lady that owns this property back here it's straight across, actually. It's like I said, the closest property to where the explosion was. She mentioned that there's a drainage ditch that runs alongside the railroad tracks that goes straight into a creek. And that creek ended up being the one that I don't know if you saw it on the news, where there were a bunch of fish that had gone belly up and such, and it's still happening. There's still plenty of fish that are belly up over there. But it leads down into a larger stream that runs through three other towns before it gets to the Ohio River. And none of those people trust their drinking water at this point. They won't go out to eat. They won't. I mean, it's worse for people that have well water. They're not going to drink out of their wells because they believe that this has infected their groundwater.
Absolutely. I would be terrified if if my well water were near that. And then of course also air quality and heading towards Lake Erie as well, a lot of concerns. Nick, I'll let you get back to work, and thank you so much for taking a few minutes to speak with us. That's Nick Sorter there reporting in East Palestine, Ohio. Thanks so much for joining us, Nick.
Thank you, Clayton. Thank you for covering this.
Thanks, Nick. And we hope for your safety there as well. Yeah, East Palestine, as I need to say it, drill that into our brain. He did mention Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, and let's take a look. You know, people don't maybe not remember Camp Lejeune if you weren't in North Carolina. You know, the contamination of the drinking water that happened in Camp Lejeune, you know, from the 1950s all the way up into the 1980s. Cancer, miscarriages, everything. There's still wide open lawsuits for what happened to the contaminated drinking water that was allowed to those hazardous substances.
The lawyers are just getting started on this. They are just cracking their knuckles. Now, I want to bring you through a little bit of what the EPA is saying, because the statement that we showed you earlier from Norfolk Southern had sort of made it seem like the EPA is cooperating with us. They know about it. It's okay. We're working hand in hand. The EPA is not going along with that messaging. They sent a letter to the company last Friday telling them expect to be held liable for this for the foreseeable future and clean it up. They say that they have observed the following. Take a look at what they have, you know, just documented on their own. Materials released during the incident observed and detected in samples from Sulphur Run, Leslie Run, Bull Creek, North Fork, Little Beaver Creek, and Ohio River. Materials related to the incident were absorbed entering storm drains.
Oh, good.
Multiple rail cars and tankers were observed derailed, breached, and on fire. Included these following materials: vinyl chloride, ethylene, glycol, monobutyl ether. I'm not going to pronounce all of those. You can read them. Five rail tankers of vinyl chloride were intentionally breached. The vinyl chloride was diverted to an excavated trench and then burned off. They said that in their statement. We're going to sort of coordinate it off, and it's going to be, and then we're clean it up, basically.
Right.
As if they could contain it, you know, like a kitchen spill. Areas of contaminated soil and free liquids were observed and potentially covered and or filled during reconstruction of the rail line during portions of the trench and burn pit that was used for the open burn off of vinyl chloride. So they mention here the Ohio River, and I mentioned earlier that it runs into the Mississippi River. Here's a sort of map of how those rivers can join. So now this is everyone's problem. This can affect thousands of farms, and many livestock farms are already reporting dead animals, such as chickens, roosters, and foxes. And then, of course, we showed you the fish in the river. So the question is, did they have to burn this? Did their models underestimate what would happen? Well, one emergency response and hazard material technician put it this way. He is saying that if they had looked up, his name is Ryan Cunningham on Twitter, so we'll look at his information. So what he did was look up the contents of each car number and provides us with this chart here. Now, if you notice that there's a P there under next to vinyl chloride, it says what that P means is that the material may undergo violent polymerization if heated or contaminated, which would cause the container to rupture or explode. And so see how he explains this. He says, if we review the guide, we see the immediate evacuation precautions should be taken. A reverse 911 that calls all citizens to be evacuated. He says he's also concerned that this material may be explosive when mixed with air, meaning it's sitting there volatile. This is a big deal. We can't just leave it alone. He says, as we start to dive deeper into the science of the material vinyl chloride, we find that it's highly volatile and has a boiling point of 7.9 Fahrenheit. So that means that if one of the tanks is damaged, we have a disaster on our hands. It's a ticking bomb sitting on the ground. We are at a risk of catastrophic BLEVE, known as boiling liquid vapor explosion. He says he doesn't know the quantity of the material, but if it exploded, if it was left like that, it could destroy the city, he said, if it was left. And so the decision was...
Well, they already kind of did destroy the city.
Well,
just a quick question. Does that mean that it had to be cooled down the whole time it's been in transport? Because doesn't that, like, 7.9, that's low.
Right. Yeah, a lot of questions here. And that's a good question. Maybe, Philip, do you have What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, yeah, if its boiling point is 7.9 degrees Fahrenheit, it's definitely a refrigerated tanker. I mean, there's no way around that.
Okay. And so they're like, you know, thankfully it's winter, but we cannot let this even get to room temperature. He says he believes that they decided to do a controlled burn of the pressure release values to minimize the potential of this.
Believe. I've seen people in the chat saying it's believe. Believe, E-E, believe, E-E, I guess. Okay.
To blave.
Blave.
At this point of the response, he says the options were limited. And so this is his conclusion. He says, given this limited facts, I see no option but to allow the material to burn. Of course, this doesn't dissolve the government responsibility to inform the public or to, I mean, is there any way to have done this safely, or is this just... like, your options are the whole town goes up in flames, or the whole town now has disease related to toxic exposure. Like, sure. These are our options.
Josh Ron 99 in the chat says, is this alarmism or is it realism? It's a good question. I mean, is what alarmism? Like, we're showing you what happened and showing you that people living in that town are saying that they don't want to drink the drinking water, and many have left and are not planning on coming back.
Right. I mean, again, this is one person's, he's an expert, but this is his analysis. But given all the liability, you'd think if he's right and they could prove this could explode and take out the town, and that's what our models show, and even like do a tiny experiment in the court, you can prove that in a court of law. Like, look, we had to burn it or it would have blown up the town.
Right.
That should be provable.
So instead we contaminated the town so that it's basically irreparable damage either way.
I'm not saying
that.
That's what I'm asking. How is that any different? How is it like if they burn it, how does it stop the explosion part of it? Like, cause the explosion would have been heat, correct?
Yes, but he's saying the models would show an explosion like out and wide, right? And it would literally kill everybody. Well, the material getting to room temperature.
Right.
And so, I mean, if you live in this town, what's your preference? Right. To get blown up without any notice or to evacuate and then have a choice of whether or not to come back? Of course, the second one is what we would mostly choose, but these are awful options.
Yeah. I'm just struck by something that, you know, Nick said earlier in our interview is that now they're saying, like, that's fine. Like, you can start drinking your drinking water again. Really?
They clearly don't know that.
And there's fish going belly up. I mean, how are they telling you that your drinking water is fine? Like, that's unbelievable.
Right. And so, okay, but let's discuss these as if they are real possibilities, right? If you think you have a ticking time bomb in your crash, of course they evacuated the whole town. They did take it seriously. Like, get out of here right now. These are toxic things.
Yeah, but there is a lot of questions. Again, why is the federal government, why is there no mention of it? Why is, you know, the White House not talking about it? Pete Buttigieg was totally ignored it yesterday when he did a public appearance. Yeah. And he was talking, he said, transportation in the United States is fantastic. It's fantastic. Really? We've had how many derailments in the past 48 hours in Houston, in South Carolina, in Ohio, and a massive chemical in Ohio?
Wasn't there a journalist even arrested trying to cover it? I saw a story on that.
We are going to get to that.
Okay.
We're going to get to that.
Now, of course, Clayton mentioned in a twist of irony, this area of Ohio was the setting for a movie called White Noise that came out over Christmas with Adam Driver. And it is about this very thing, a train explosion and a town being evacuated. I actually watched this movie over Christmas, but I fell asleep, so I didn't get to the explosion part.
Yeah, and apparently there was extras. There were people hired from East Palestine who were in the movie. It was not filmed in East Palestine, but there's a lot of feels eerily similar to this. And then speaking of this reporter, there were reports, of course, of journalists being arrested. And on this story, that is true. Even Evan Lambert for News Nation was standing in the auditorium where Governor DeWine was going to speak when he was arrested for covering this story. To broadcast the story, and for no explanation, he was not allowed to cover it. He was told to pack up his cameras, get out of here, watch this. And he was there with his camera set up doing a live shot for the news, and then this happened. Watch.
Just stunning video. Our News Nation correspondent Evan Lambert being arrested in Ohio while reporting at a news conference.
Yes, he was there when he was asked to stop reporting during the time where the governor was speaking. Then law enforcement came up to him. You can see him speaking to them. It looks like the situation was becoming more tense. And then he was taken outside of the gymnasium where that news conference was being held and taken to jail.
So that's how we treat journalists in the United States these days. So we're going to continue to watch this story. Again, it's amazing to see like independent journalists who are covering the story. Mainstream media is ignoring it. Some of the local news stations, of course, covering it. And international stations are coming in and covering it. So you have like literally it's being covered in China. And Al Jazeera is covering it. But you can't turn on your NBC Nightly News and find out any information about this, because this would definitely paint the Biden administration in a poor light to have four train derailments in the past week with an entire town being evacuated.
Well, already there are four class action lawsuits in the works against this rail company. Rail workers. Now, you remember we talked about the rail strike in December.
Yeah.
We talked about this sort of shift timing, the way they give people shifts based on how many cars they can put together. This was a 150 car train.
Yeah.
And train workers are saying, we told you about this. We told you this was dangerous. So that is one element of it.
Yeah, we can't check the tracks. We can't analyze the tracks like we used to. Uh-huh. So we can't check them for shunts
or other problems. This is literally something they were striking about.
Right.
And you might recall that the Biden administration passed legislation to remove their ability to strike.
Right.
So their ability to strike and fix this was removed in corporate interest by the Biden administration and Congress that signed this into law. You know, they should absolutely answer for that. Like, hey, we might have had an opportunity. A rail strike would have been better than this. Like, so what? We had a few less, you know, material in the world. Like, we might have fixed the strike in a matter of 2 weeks.
Right.
If there was maybe a slow up of goods rather than like people die of, you know, cancer related to toxic exposure.
I was reading somewhere also that there's a lot of things the railroad uses that are still from like the 1800s. Like there's stuff needs to be updated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad, by the way, glad we can spend $1 trillion a year on our military budget to attack other countries. But the United States of America is crumbling and we can send $150 billion to Ukraine so that they can fix their railroads. But we can't fix our own railroads in the United States. Go ahead, Philip.
I mean, weren't the people in the West? The railroad is progress until it reaches a certain point, then it stops.
That's right.
Sorry, Philip. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's okay. Well, I think that's why you get that there's no coverage of this is because when you really start looking into what happened, it goes back through Biden like stopping the their ability to strike. It goes to like the Trump era, like removing restrictions on brakes, like the lobbyists didn't want to have to classify hazardous materials going through these towns, and it just keeps going back and back and back. There are so many like dirty hands in this scenario that of course the media doesn't want to cover it because there's not even a side you could pick to say, look, our side didn't have anything to do with it. Like
right.
This is like a government screw up on down the line that goes back decades.
Yes.
And that's why you're not going to hear anything on it.
Great point.
Yeah. Speaking of, James Richard gives us a super chat and says, you know, why would these chemicals even be on a train in the first place? That speaks to what you just said, Philip, is that the lobbyists didn't want to classify or register these chemicals going through civilian towns. Because
it was a law at one point.
Was it?
It was a law at one point that they had to declare these hazardous materials, and then they lobbied Congress to get that removed. So that so this train going through that town was carrying these highly toxic chemicals, and nobody knew about it. It wasn't classified as that.
Yeah. And when BlackRock owns these trains, you know, at the heart of all of this, which owns everything, then you can start to maybe the conspiracy wheels start turning on this. We've got more to cover today on the show. Let's talk about this. What Edward Snowden just said about the UFOs is kind of terrifying and actually should concern all of us because it's not about aliens specifically. So NSA whistleblower, an American hero in my mind and on this show's mind, I believe, agrees with us here at Redacted, as we've been warning you over the past few days, that all of this UFO talk is just a distraction. just a distraction to take your mind off of what's really going on here. Take your mind off of Seymour Hersh and his bombshell reporting on the Nord Stream pipeline that the U.S. blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. Where'd that story go? Where's the mainstream media coverage of that story? Arguably one of the biggest stories in 100 years, that the U.S. carried out one of the biggest ecological terrorist attacks of all time against our allies in the EU. But no, there's no coverage of it. So it's all distraction, right, to take your mind off of other things so that the U.S. can go to war and get us fully involved in World War III with China and Russia. So right after Seymour Hersh's piece ran last week and exposed how the U.S. deep state destroyed the Nord Stream pipeline, the mainstream media snapped right to attention, fell right in line and ignored the story. And they followed in line in favor of covering this balloon story, this UFO story all of a sudden, this UFO invasion story, which they had ready to go. Like, ready to roll out at a moment's notice. Like, when can we roll this story out? Here we go. Are ETs or Chinese balloons attacking the United States? Are we under an invasion? It doesn't matter. Look over here, not over there. Look over there, not over here. Avert your eyes. We don't want you to see. And so Edward Snowden is spot on. He says this afternoon and agrees that warning us all not to get distracted. He writes, it's not aliens. I wish it were aliens, but it's not aliens. It's just the old engineered panic, an attractive nuisance ensuring NatSec reporters get assigned to investigate balloon bullshit rather than budgets or bombings, a la the Nord Stream pipeline. Until next time, he writes, so keep this up for a second. So this is a part that I hadn't really thought about, but he's absolutely spot on. By having the Pentagon holding press briefings, right, and by having all of your newsrooms focused on the balloon story and UFOs, and we got to get our national security reporters down to the White House. The Pentagon's holding a briefing on this. We got to get everyone in the newsroom. Hey, the White House is calling a meeting. They're calling a briefing. The National Security Council is getting ready. They're getting all together. Go down and cover this story. Yeah, but boss, what about that story last week, the Nord Stream pipeline? I told you, go down to this new press conference they're holding. It's and I hadn't thought about that, but he's absolutely right. That's a total distraction. This is a way to divert newsrooms. It's a really smart play because everyone snaps to attention. He's absolutely right about that. Something big is going on here. Something really big is being planned right in front of our eyes and by your deep state government. And they're doing it under the guise of an alien UFO invasion.
He actually talks about in his book how when
Edward Snowden does.
In how when he first joined the CIA, you get access to this internal government search engine because they have their own form of Google, run by Google. And it's more anonymous than like your records pinging the server. So everyone goes and looks up things that are classified, like who killed JFK and that kind of thing. And he says, you know, in the government records that are accessible to employees, at least, you cannot tell. He says, as far as I could tell, aliens have never contacted Earth, or they haven't contacted U.S. intelligence. That it's not like something that you can see readily as an employee of the government. He also says that, yes, man did really land on the moon, climate change is real, and chemtrails are not a thing.
Oh.
So those are his conclusions based on internal government search engines.
So we know that those government internal search engines, though, then are crap because they're totally bifurcating information from people, right? So like people get access to certain things and other, and we all, and by the way, we know based on Philip Corso, Colonel Philip Corso, who literally worked on reverse engineering of UFO programs for the government. The stuff was kept out digitally, was not allowed to be digitized. It was literally in a filing cabinet that his superior officers wheeled to him at the Pentagon. Here is the filing cabinet of all the reverse engineering material that you need. None of this is cross-checked and saved somewhere else. So again, being put digitized in some sort of a CIA database for some low-level person.
And also those employees were probably only paying for the $9.99 per month version. You pay for $20, you get it all.
They weren't paying for Google, the G Suite of products, Google.
Right.
So anyway, something is being planned right in front of our eyes, guys. Like right now, the deep state, they're doing it under the guise of a UFO invasion. We're going to get all into more of this in just a moment here. But first, let me just address something. Last night, many of you sent me emails. You emailed me thinking that maybe, and I think you may have misunderstood me, and I want to be clear about my position on this. I think you thought I was somehow being dismissive of UFOs, No, I'm being dismissive of this government narrative that suddenly we're under attack by UFOs. That to me is garbage. No, we are not under attack by UFOs. In fact, on this show, we've been covering that for about 2 years now, how the Senate started talking about this. Marco Rubio started talking about this. And I predicted this 2 years ago on this show. We can find the tape where I said, mark my words, they're going to start to use this as a threat in order to increase our military defense budget. They're going to say, oh, you know, we don't know what these things are, but we got to really start spending more money for an advanced space program or our space force or all of these things. We got to start spending more money on that. So I am fully in on this.
Oh, yeah, he is.
And I've been covering this UFO story for years. I have spoken to all manner of government employees, members of the military who've told me amazing things that they've seen about our secret government and our UFO programs in the government. They exist. Going all the way back to the U.S. retrieval of the UFO wreckage at Roswell, which was taken to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, in Dayton, Ohio. Even going back to my time on Fox News, interviewing Air Force One pilots about how they had interactions with UFOs while flying presidential candidates in the air, about technology that was beyond our own capabilities. Like, here's a little retrospective, just to a palate cleanser. Watch.
Not a lot do. This pilot, though, who flew Barack Obama during his 2008 presidential campaign, says UFOs are real, and he's seen one firsthand. Here to share his almost unbelievable stories, pilot Andy Danziger. Nice to see you this morning.
Good morning.
Now, we should be clear that this incident that you saw happened in 1989. Why did it take so long for you to talk about it?
That was me many moons ago. That was about maybe more than 10 years ago now, probably, right?
You were such a baby.
Such a baby face. What's amazing, it's been almost impossible since that time to get any member of the White House or Congress to talk at all about UFOs. It's a subject they never, ever talk about. And what the government is secretly doing about them, they don't talk about it. It's been impossible. No one would talk about it on the record, actually, for fear of losing their job. So it was with great alarm then that suddenly everyone is now talking about this story. Everyone, and I mean everyone, is talking about it. Just look at how NBC and CBS News both led their nightly news broadcasts last night. Watch this.
Good evening and thank you for joining us. It has happened again today. Another aerial object was shot down by U.S. warplanes.
Tonight, the growing mystery and the race to recover those unidentified objects shot down by U.S. fighter jets. Defense Secretary Austin saying today they were a threat to civilian aircraft.
Yeah, so now we're all in on it, right? Suddenly, now the White House, the Senate, the Congress, the Pentagon is all giving us license to talk about it, so it's all a distraction. In fact, you have top U.S. generals coming out holding a press conference? This is crazy. Top U.S. general not ruling out aliens after military shoots down three UFOs. So the whole thing smells bad to me. Something is not right. This is not about aliens at all. This is about fear so they can distract you from what's really going on. Just listen to the White House's John Kirby go into great detail about how the White House is talking now openly about UFOs. Like, what world do we live in now? Watch.
The president also instructed the intelligence community to take a broad look at the phenomenon of unidentified aerial objects. Indeed, President Biden conducted the first ever daily intelligence briefing session devoted to this phenomenon back in June of 2021. He was briefed that this is not just an issue for the United States, but one for the rest of the world. And as I said, our friends and our partners are dealing with this as well. We worked on a bipartisan basis to stand up an office at the Pentagon to study this in partnership with the intelligence community, academic institutions, and the private sector. These unidentified aerial phenomena have been reported for many years without explanation or deep examination by the government. President Biden has changed all that. We are finally trying to understand them better.
Okay. Really? That's odd to hear from the podium, literally reading from prepared notes. When have we heard that before? We never hear that. It gets laughed off as like a joke and no reporters ever ask questions about it. It's always like, oh my God, I can't believe he actually asked President
Without
Trump.
Without a joke.
Yeah, like, you know, or David Letterman asks Obama about it or something, or Jimmy Kimmel asks, you know, Bill Clinton about it, George Bush about it or something, or Hillary Clinton. But it's never part of a normal conversation, and now suddenly it is. So this morning, the Senate, the U.S. Senate held a stunning classified hearing briefing. And according to Punchbowl News this morning, U.S. senators went behind closed doors to try and get answers about these UFOs. Here are some of the people who are briefed, briefing these senators specifically. These were the same people that were trotted out at that press conference the other day, which I thought was really odd. But again, these are the same people here that are now briefing U.S. senators. And look at the names on this list. Who's there third on that list? NORAD, U.S. NORTHCOM. General Glenn Van Herk, Commander, North American Aerospace. So what's going on?
Like I've said in the past, this is like the perfect boogeyman because you're not going to have independent media to be able to verify aliens because none of us can go to space. So it's like they can create the perfect enemy. It's the perfect boogeyman for the next move because like then they can get unlimited funds because they can, you know, the photoshopping its spacecraft will be easy for propaganda. So it's like it's like the perfect next step with what we've seen.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing too, because you know that this is all about money, right? And they can't confirm this stuff. We can't send people out there to find it. So we just have to rely on what they're telling us here. And if we're being invaded, like we showed you all last night, I went in great detail about the Battle of Los Angeles during World War II, like bringing us into World War II, you know, over that story. So what is going on here? Well, we can't be sure, but there is one thing we can be sure of. Last year, when we started talking about these UFOs, specifically about the Senate trying to raise money about this, and Marco Rubio was trotted out, and he was talking, oh, yeah, these things can be a threat. You know, this is definitely a threat to our national airspace because we don't know about this, and if we can't track these things, and we really got to ramp things up here, and we got to find out more about this. And then, of course, they're having this meeting today with the Senate behind closed doors, and I guarantee you they're going to come out. We're going to have to spend more money on our national defense, our air defense systems. This is a really concerning problem, and all a distraction for a bigger, broader story that they're trying to draw us into World War III against Russia and China. So Marco Rubio claims UFOs have been flying over the U.S. for years, he says. And here he says, look, they're shot down over the last 3 days are nothing new. Yeah, this is nothing new. And I've been watching this for years. This is happening routinely. And this is a big concern in the United States.
I can't wait until we're going through TSA.
What was that?
I was going to say, I can't wait till we're going through TSA and they're going to be like, are you an alien? No. Okay, well, we need to put you through this scanner because we kind of think you are.
Right. You know, both things you're saying is true, is that you believe in UFOs, but you also believe that the government is using this as a scapegoat to ratchet up its defense.
Right. We've had, I mean, guests on this show we've had Michael Horn and other people on the show. Thousands of years of this has been happening, and suddenly now they're attacking the United States. Like, give me a break. Like, it's an absolute ridiculous thing. And so they're going to use it as a distraction, just like Edward Snowden said. They're going to use this as a distraction. And by the way, we featured former FBI special agent last night, John D'Souza, on the show, who said this is their plan. They've had this UFO fake invasion story ready to go that they're going to roll out. And he predicted this over a year ago. I reached out to John. I want to have him on the show. Actually, we're going back and forth today about that. But I said, you were right. Like a year ago, you accurately predicted this. You said this is their playbook and they're rolling it out right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I find it interesting. And last I knew the original balloon that started the whole thing, that was shot down and recovered. But these remaining ones, these unidentified ones that they've shot down, they haven't gone out and recovered, have they?
The last Not that I know of.
They hadn't even gone out so they just like shot them down. They're like, okay, end of story.
That was cool.
But they did today say they got valuable intelligence information from that first balloon that they shot down.
Okay,
great. We shot down the fluffy part. We really analyzed on that bottom part. Okay.
I love that they say like it's a threat to civilization, yet debris falling towards Earth is no threat at all.
Right. Yeah. Well, we've got more news to get to here on this Tuesday, on this Valentine's Tuesday. We're going to talk about Google pre-bunking your stories for you. So when you do search results, they'll take care of it. So if you want some information, don't worry. They'll block it for you. They're going to make sure that it's sanitized just for you. And no vaccine. Don't worry. No social security check. We'll tell you where that's happening. But first, we're going to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, because they just rolled out their new earnings calendar where you can get great updates and information about different companies that you're tracking and following, all on an earnings calendar so you can see when they're coming out, all visualized, so you can make a decision whether you want to invest in certain companies or not. Earnings season coming up, you can click on the calendar, see them right there. No more hunting and pecking around the internet to try to find out when is, you know, Tesla announcing earnings or any of that stuff. It's right there. Moo Moo provides clean cut, bite-sized analysis pieces covering 25 of the most popular stocks right there in the earnings calls. You can join the other 19 million like-minded users in discussions under these topics to exchange ideas and insights. And now it could help you add US and AU companies, Australian companies, earning release dates right to your calendar. So, and our Australian viewers, pay attention. There's some good news for you. For a limited time only, Moo Moo is running an Australian $110 cash reward promotion for opening your first account and depositing $1,000 in your account. So they give you $110 just for doing that. Deposit any amount and you'll be rewarded with a $20 cash coupon. And if you deposit more than that $1,000, you'll get a $90 additional bonus and an extra reward there. So all great stuff. Plus 180 days of brokerage-free Australian and U.S. stock trading. So go to redacted.inc/moomoo, redacted.inc/moomoo today to get up to 15 free stocks. Again, redacted.inc/moomoo, 15 free stocks right now from our friends over at Moomoo.
All right. Well, Google is expanding its disinformation campaign in Germany and India because the one they did in Poland, they thought was really successful. They are literally calling this inoculation. They are inoculating you and users from misinformation. Now, like other things that you use for inoculation, we can consider it a information vaccine, right? It makes you more able to cope with misinformation. It doesn't stop the spread of misinformation. It just makes you less susceptible to it. You see what I did there?
Oh, I see.
But they are using these words, not me. They literally call it their inoculation campaign. These are videos that Google produces and they run on Facebook. So Facebook's in bed with this too. YouTube and TikTok. Google makes them to counter information that it does not like. Information about what? Well, according to the Associated Press, topics include COVID, immigration, climate change, elections. So I thought here, if I give you this little quiz here. Now, Google says they started with this test pilot. So look at this option here. What subject amongst these subjects do you think that they started with? Given these options, what do you think they started a misinformation test campaign with?
Google pre-bunking.
Distrust in democratic institutions.
Okay. That's your vote, Philip.
That would have been my vote, too. That would have been my vote, is distrust in democratic institutions.
Okay.
I'm going to go with climate change.
Okay, you're all wrong. If you answered, let's see if anybody in the chat, can you just...
Yeah.
Okay. If you answered Ukraine, you would be correct. Google started this very important problem of disinformation to align itself with NATO war narratives. Oh, interestingly okay. enough. I mean, they could have started with any dangerous narrative in the world. They could have started with childhood obesity. They could start by helping elderly people learn to identify online scams. Wouldn't that be something? Like, right. Google is actually going to help you not get scammed. By scammers and social security scammers.
Right, like if you got an email, like grandma got an email and it was like, Social Security, we're going to give you more in your Social Security check. Click here.
Like, grandma, don't do that.
A Nigerian prince from a Nigerian
any of
prince.
Those things.
Yeah.
You notice from this list that the only topics on the list of things they want to counter about misinformation are topics that will either give governments or corporations more power if you do not question them.
I have a question about
and
that,
that's,
though.
That's something I want to...
Does that...
Philip first, and then David.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. So that was what I was going to point out here was that where it says there at the bottom, like the authoritarian propaganda and distrust in democratic institutions. What that's saying is basically like anything put out by people we don't like, then we want to, that's disinformation. So if it's authoritarian propaganda, but what about like democratic institution propaganda? That's actually something they're going to be doing for them.
Yes.
So they're actually going to be producing propaganda for the democratic institutions they like while like stifling yes. authoritarian right. propaganda. I mean, it's interesting. They're like just basically saying, we're going to get in bed with these guys right now. And we'll just make their own propaganda for them because
that's what it feels
that's
like
what they're saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and my question is, does that mean they're going to open up so that if I search something, I get all the results? I just get told which one is propaganda? Or are they going to continue to do what they already do? Because you can't find information that's valid on any of that stuff already. So it's like
Let's take a look at how they do it, how they're inoculating you. And we'll see if that, I don't think that really answers your question, but we'll see. Again, you know, none of these things on this list are about anything that would do anyone, like, really be good for humanity. It's only good for corporate interest. Like, normalize not drinking, right? That would be a nice one. Or stop feeding children too much sugar. Be kind to all people based on their skin color, not based on their skin color.
Focus on who you are, not what.
Right. Like, inclusive humanity, you know, those kind of things. Yeah, I guess, like, sure, there's a lot of misinformation there about alcohol and food and sugar and education. And I was just listening to an Honestly podcast about misinformation about how children learn to read and how these women got super rich in the 80s and 90s, drove Maseratis by peddling this reading program that actually was completely ineffective, and children did not learn to read. And like, those are things that absolutely we could use some misinformation aid about, but that's not what we're doing. So I think this makes it clear that the corporate idea of disinformation is really only related to corporate and government interest, not at all in human interest, or else they just would use it differently. So let's take a look at how they applied this to a problem in Ukraine. This is a pre-bunk video that I thought was very successful. Remember, they ran this in Poland, so it is in Polish, and there are subtitles.
Wojna w Ukrainie trwa nie tylko w terenie, ale także w twoim telefonie. Żeby wygrać tę wojnę, niektórzy będą próbować tobą manipulować, robiąc z Ukraińców kozła ofiarnego i winiąc ich za twoje problemy.
Hej, wszystko gra?
Pytamy, jak ci idzie szukanie mieszkania.
Przez tych Ukraińców nie mogę znaleźć mieszkania.
Co?
Polacy nie mają już gdzie mieszkać. Rząd zabiera nam mieszkanie i rozdaje za darmo Ukraińcom.
Uważasz, że to wina Ukraińców? Nie rób z nich kozła ofiarnego.
Kozła ofiarnego?
No, nie zwalaj wszystkich swoich problemów i nie szczęść na innych. To absurd. Sprawdzałeś, kto to napisał? Co to w ogóle za strona?
Co to za różnica? Po co ktoś ma mnie oszukiwać?
Na przykład, żeby odwrócić twoją uwagę. Żebyś obwiniał uchodźców za wszystkie swoje problemy, zamiast skupić się na wojnie, która ich tutaj sprowadziła.
Jeśli ktoś twierdzi, że złożone problemy są winą konkretnej osoby czy grupy, to może być manipulacja. Kozioł ofiarny to jedna z najczęściej używanych technik szerzenia dezinformacji. Nie daj się manipulować.
Wow. Okay. So, I think the spirit of this is fine. You shouldn't reduce your problems to any one group of people. Mm-hmm. They are also telling us, though, not to blame anything on refugee problems when there are, in fact, refugee problems in the world. In many places, especially
in Poland. I mean, Poland is under the weight of 5 million refugees.
Yes. Like, it's a valid question to ask, how will Poland survive an influx of refugees? That is not represented in this video. You know, we have shown you the research showing that there is a refugee problem in Poland. You shouldn't feel hateful and grumbly like this dude about it, right? But listening to Google tell you to go brush those questions aside doesn't solve any problems either. Like, right. How is the Western world supposed to meaningfully absorb immigrants from all war-torn places, not just Ukraine?
Right.
How will countries continue to provide for Ukraine? How will we make sure that Ukrainians are not getting special treatment above immigrants from other countries that are also suffering and in line at refugee programs? What kind of Ukrainians that could not immigrate and had to stay, that couldn't leave Ukraine and had to stay there and fight a war they don't want? What about those people, right? These are all valid questions, and Google's basically telling you, knock that off and be the kind of person who sits casually in a cafe, please.
Just be a neutral person. Go on antidepressants so you don't feel one way or the other. You're not too volatile and you're not too down here. Just be steady Eddie. Just in simple Google search results. That's what they want.
Right. And
stupid,
so
critical thinkers.
Yeah.
Right.
My question would be, like, I wonder if we'll see anything from Google this, like, pro-labor union to inoculate people so they're not against unions. You know that they would be quiet on that one.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And someone in the chat says 1.5 million refugees, Clayton, not 5 million. No, we've talked to sources in Poland who've said it could even be higher than 5 million. So that's even being conservative. Those are numbers that come from sources we've had here on the show specifically, but maybe those numbers change. You know, the government's not coming out with official numbers anyway. Sorry.
Well, this is a project from Jigsaw, which is a branch of Google that's working on this. And they said that negative stories about refugees have real world impacts because there's been 65 attacks on refugee shelters in Germany alone, which is not nothing. But imagine throwing all the weight of Google to solve a problem in the world for something that's happened 65 times. Of course, that shouldn't be happening, but there's child trafficking in the world that they could be trying to solve, right? But not just something that's like happened 65 times in Germany. Abuse of other groups happens much higher incidence. Like all of this money in towards this problem, you would almost think that they were doing this to get us to support the NATO side of the war. Here is where they ran these ads as a test. You can see Poland, Czech and Slovakia on Facebook and Twitter. After these users saw these ads, they gave them a survey containing 1 to 3 questions to determine if the ads afterwards they could better identify fear-mongering and scapegoating. This is how they gave us those metrics. They didn't show us the survey, and this is not a peer-reviewed study, so I can't vouch for whether or not the questions they asked these people after seeing the ads were valid or reliable, but they think they were, so I'm sure they were, right?
Yeah,
that's sarcasm. Sure. But they showed that it could help these small percentages like feel differently after online tutorials. So what's next now? What are they going to do? Well, more. They say that they're moving new pre-bunking experiments in India and Germany with local partners and experts. Now, I wonder what disinformation they seem to think is necessary in those regions and who gets to decide. Here is one pre-bunking experiment they're working on, anti-vaccine narratives. So my question is, who's partnering with them about this? Someone that may have a vested interest? I don't know.
Will Pfizer, Moderna have anything to do with this?
Now, the Associated Press says, I didn't see this in Google's information, but this was in the AP story about it, that the effects of these videos, of these inoculation videos, wears off. Like, you might think critically for a while and then you forget.
Like a vaccine.
Like core training.
Like the COVID vaccine. It wears off after.
Yes. And so they need boosters. What?
I just want to see if I understand this correctly. Like, basically, what you're talking about is that you're talking about like change people's like core beliefs. Like they're aiming at your core beliefs. They're aiming at your morals and like your like entire world paradigm. And they think if that changes, it just kind of reverts back.
Yeah.
Like, that blows my mind. Like,
it's like an exercise.
Maybe I work differently than the people they, yeah.
Yeah. So they're thinking that you need boosters, booster videos. They use this term. I guess they think that we have a positive connotation with it these days. But they think they need to do booster pre-bunking videos to keep users sharp, which is funny. Because, you know, pre-bunking inoculation with boosters, these are words I increasingly do not want to hear.
Right.
But the question remains, why is Google doing this? They have not been a moral authority, at least not in their inception. They were a ranking information. That's all they did. I mean, we know they do a lot more, but now they're
money.
Promoting narratives.
They're doing it for money. They want Google to be what they see as a safe place for advertisers, right? So it's the same reason that they block us on YouTube. They, you know, shadow ban channels. They can make plenty of money off of our channel through advertising, but they push down because they want to make this platform and Google like an advertiser-friendly place. And so if Pfizer, Moderna, and all of these companies can continue to funnel them all sorts of billions of dollars in advertising revenue for their pharmaceuticals and everything, then it's a safe environment for Google. Imagine if Pfizer execs are sitting there and they're thinking about where to put their ad dollars.
Yeah.
And they start seeing Google search results that are like, Pfizer this, Pfizer that, Moderna this. They downrank all of this stuff to push that stuff away, and they continue to make their good ad revenue.
But now they don't even have to produce ads anymore because Google is essentially doing it for them. So right. Imagine what a pre-bunking video would look like around a COVID vaccine. You
right.
know, you'd see some grumbly dude with a dark hat like that guy, like, oh, you know, these these things, I'm not going to take them because my uncle said Bill Gates, blah, blah, blah. Right.
Right.
I can't even repeat some of the narratives here.
So like what the thing is, like, this is just like in such short, it hasn't been all that long ago. What, like a couple of weeks since the Davos had that brain transparency, you know, seminar where they're like, this is all exactly what they were talking about at Davos. It was like brain transfer. Well, like basically like we need to get into people's brains.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they know that they are losing the information war, and now they're going to have to go outside of us going to them. Because lately, like recently, it's us going to them to search for information, but we have found ourselves. You can't find good information there. So the people that are not going on are looking outside of Google. So now they have to find ways to win the information war by going outside of that with marketing campaigns to pull us back into their narrative. They're losing us. Yeah. That's what I see.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen this too with cable news, and of course you're seeing with the mainstream media, and they're having to just, I don't know, it's a losing battle because independent media continues to rise, the rise of Rumble and so forth, and rise of alternative video platforms, they're going to keep getting stronger and keep getting stronger and adding new users. You saw what happened to Facebook. I mean, that whole population is being aged out on Facebook. Right. Like there's no new users, although they said there were, but I don't buy that for a second. New people aren't coming into Facebook. Like, who's today deciding to wake up a young person? Like my son's like, you know, Dad, can you help me set up one of them Facebook accounts?
No.
Could you imagine?
If you were getting new users, you wouldn't be laying off 14,000 people. You wouldn't be losing thousands of people at your place if you were doing better.
I know when they had their most recent Facebook had their most recent earnings call and they said they added all sorts of new users. I was like, what? After a quarter where they announced they had their first round of like huge decline in users and no new, like, where are these new users suddenly coming from? It all sounded fake to me in order to prop up a stock. Like, I don't know. So I think you're right about this. I think that there's like, I don't know. They're trying to make it nicer, but it's a losing battle because eventually people are going to turn away from Google fully and go to other services like they are on, you know, YouTube, but finally starting to move towards Rumble and other platforms.
Yeah, I like Lyndon Watson in the chat calls this IQ blockers. That's a good one. Yeah. All right. You have the last word on that. Thanks so much.
That's good. All right. For that, we are going to move to Rumble. In fact, that's what we're going to do right now. So come on to the 35,000 of you that are on YouTube right now, a censorship pro platform, which is YouTube. Come on over to Rumble, which is censorship free, where our stream will continue. We're going to do a story on vaccines over there. So come on over and join our Rumble community. Rumble.com/redacted is the place you can go. Rumble.com/redacted. Come on over. It's nice and warm over here. We've got almost 230,000 followers on Rumble right now, which is great. Catching up. We have 1.7 million on YouTube. So got some room to catch up there on Rumble. So come on over and join us on that platform. So thank you all to you on YouTube tonight. We're back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. But come on over to Rumble, where the stream will continue right now. All right. Welcome over to Rumble, everyone. Nice to see all of you. We're going to get to our next story here on the vaccines and why you might need to get one in order to get social services soon in other countries, not just the one we're going to feature. But first, are the Biden administration's New Year's goals of tax and spend and turning a blind eye to inflation at odds with your goals of securing your savings? When you finally had enough of the games government is playing with your savings in retirement, diversify into gold with Birch Gold. I'm tired of my money being impacted by stupid decisions by leaders in Washington. You know, today we got those CPI numbers out, and they are bogus. In fact, inflation went up, despite what their headlines are actually telling you. And it's really actually amazing. So inflation actually went up again, despite what the White House is telling you. Again, that's affecting the U.S. dollar. That's affecting the value of your money. For over 5,000 years, gold and silver have withstood inflation, geopolitical turmoil, stock market crashes. And here's the great news, guys. You can still get it. In fact, you can get gold and silver in a tax-sheltered retirement account right now. Birch Gold makes it easy to convert an IRA or a 401k into an IRA in precious metals. Here's what you need to do. Just go to birchgold.com/redacted right now to claim your free info on Gold Kit. It's really, really simple. They have a free gold kit. Go grab it right now. Birchgold.com/redacted. With almost 20 years experience converting IRAs and 401ks into precious metals, IRAs, Birch Gold can help you do it. Again, Birchgold.com/redacted is the place to go. Birchgold.com/redacted to get your free info kit. with zero obligation to make this request. All right. Should we talk about, let's talk about Brazil, shall
Vamos.
We? Vamos. So Brazil's new puppet of the World Health Organization is a guy by the name of President Lula da Silva. Of course, he is a huge supporter of the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum. He made a big announcement this week, and we wanted to unpack what he had to say about government vaccines and social services and how this could... by the way, this is what the World Health Organization wants. They want this big push by their governments in order for people to get vaccines at all levels.
What they did not want was Jair Bolsonaro, who said... We are going to maintain autonomy. We right. will not join the World Health Organization. We will not push COVIDism on our people. So he had to get out of there.
Yeah, they had to get rid of him. So they did a good job of that. So now Lula da Silva announced on Tuesday that the COVID-19 shot will be mandatory for children if parents wish to continue receiving government assistance.
Coming, that's so evil.
Does it sound like Canada? Does it sound like other countries coming to a theater near you? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that has a contagion about it. So Lula made this declaration during the inauguration of the ophthalmology and diagnostic units of the Super Carioca Health Center in Benfica, Rio de Janeiro. He said the Bolsa Família is coming back, and it's coming back with something important. It's coming back, he says, with conditions. The children have to be in school. If they're not in school, the mother loses the benefits, Lula said, about the social welfare program. It says the children...
Which in and of itself is a bit tone deaf because, you know, there are a lot of families that live in a lot of rural areas that maybe are starving and can't necessarily get their children. Like, he has a lot of people living in poverty and lacking a lot of infrastructure. If you read... Michael Schellenberger's book about how he lived on these remote farms in these really complicated, hard lives in Brazil in the rainforest. Right. Like, it's not as simple as that. So I'd like to see some solutions about how to help starving poor people instead of just conditions.
Right. So you can't get your child to school, then we're also going to take away your money.
Right.
So we're going to take away the
because
money.
Because if you can't get your child to school, to you're individual. Probably already hurting so much. Yeah, sanctions to the individual. there's a reason for that. It's not because you're a lazy sack.
Right, exactly. So the children have to be in school, he says. If they're not in school, the mother loses the benefits. The children will have to be vaccinated, he says. Suppose they don't have a vaccination certificate. In that case, the mother will lose the benefit, he says. Lula says the government vaccine mandate is for the greater good, even if it means citizens take 10 or 50 vaccines. He literally says this. Watch.
Olha, a gente só tem que lamentar, sabe, o que aconteceu nesse país, lamentar pelas vítimas e fazer um convite a vocês. Pelo amor de Deus, a gente não pode ser ignorante a ponto de achar que não vale a pena tomar vacina. Uma mãe que não leva o seu filho para tomar vacina contra a paralisia infantil. Uma mãe que não leva o seu filho para tomar vacina contra o sarampo, contra a rubéola, contra qualquer outra coisa, eu fico me perguntando que tipo de amor que essa mãe tem pelo seu filho, que ela não cuida do filho no momento mais importante que essa criança pode ser vacinada e pode evitar ter uma doença mais delicada na vida dela. Agora vai começar a campanha do Zé Gotinha. Sabe? Agora vai começar, gente... A gente não pode vacilar, a gente não pode brincar. É uma questão da ciência. Eu, se tiver 10 vacinas da Covid e 50 para tomar, eu tomo tantas quanto for necessária, porque eu gosto da minha vida. E eu acho que cada um tem que gostar da vida dos seus filhos, levar as crianças na idade certa. É por isso, Nízia, que o Bolsa Família está voltando. E o Bolsa Família vota com uma coisa importante. Porque o Bolsa Família vota com condicionantes. Qual é a condicionante? Primeiro, as crianças que vão receber, as crianças até 6 anos de idade vão receber R$150 a mais. Segundo, as crianças têm que estar na escola. Se não estiver na escola, a mãe perde o auxílio. Terceiro, as crianças têm que ser vacinadas. Se não tiver atestado de vacina, a mãe também perde o benefício. Quarto.
Yeah, let's applaud. Right. Mother's going to lose her benefits. Yeah, give it up for that. And no vaccine and vaccine mandates. Yeah, let's.
And it is for the greater good. They just don't tell you that it's for the greater good of Pfizer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the subtitles were a little off there. Someone's like, yeah, but yeah. They were not spot on. But they were mostly
the Polish ones were a tiny bit off too. It's a program we use that needs to.
Well, they do their best, I guess.
They do their best.
Meanwhile, Lula flew to Washington, D.C. on Friday to meet with a fellow World Economic Forum lover, President Biden. For this bilateral meeting.
Can I interject before we move on? Because it's a question pertinent to what we just saw really quick. Is it still the Pfizer mRNA vaccines he's talking about, or do they have different vaccines down there?
Well, he also was talking about...
Because he said measles or
He was talking about something. Measles as yeah. well. He was talking about the entire vaccination program, but then he later goes on to say... I'll take as many COVID vaccines as they want me to. If they say 10, I'll take 10. If they say 50, I'll take 50.
Is it the Pfizer mRNAs, or do they have like a different, an actual vaccine down there versus what we have here, which are not vaccines?
I'm not sure what they use in Brazil.
Yeah, I'm not sure specifically what it is. If anyone's watching us from Brazil, let us know. So anyway, meanwhile, Lula flew to Washington, D.C. on Friday to meet with President Biden, who, of course, is a fellow World Economic Forum, World Health Organization puppet to implement anything that they want for this bilateral meeting. And they were basically kissing each other. And this really weird moment with I'll show you more of this. But here's President Biden and Lula meeting. And then I don't know what the hell President Biden is even doing in this. Watch. Can I hold your hand too? I like just holding random women. So I don't know what they're doing around with this. And again, they're sort of ignoring all of the mountains of evidence around this mRNA injection for children. I mean, how ineffective it is for children, why there's not even a need for it for children, totally ignoring it. That this is for the best, he said, to live your best life.
Well, not in England. Now, in England today, they announced that people under 50 can no longer get boosted. They will no longer be giving boosters.
Can they share that with Brazil?
Yeah. Which is crazy, right? To think like how hard they jocked these. And now they're like, actually.
Yeah, we're not going to allow it for children.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that the text messages were being sent around like crazy. Like, it's ready for your children. Go and get it. CNN anchors were talking about it, how excited they were. You know, go take them right now. Oh, I'm so excited about this. Go give them to your children.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So that's Brazil. We hope that things maybe take a turn on this. I don't know. And right now they're going to continue to give these to children. And we see, especially in young boys, that's the most troubling thing about this, like what this could do to young boys. And we still don't have all the data on that, but the data that we do have is troubling enough. And they, they should be taking this really seriously.
And in a situation like in Brazil, we won't know any of the the problems that occur with like the vaccines, because the children will die of starvation because their benefits are being removed because, so it's just like they kind of have a win-win here. Like you can't get the data because the people are dead.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
That is crazy to think about.
People said Pfizer's making a killing.
Google started their inoculation campaign down there already too, probably.
Well, I mean, in Brazil, they just must be so thrown by this because they had Bolsonaro, who was just a strict refusal. He refused COVIDism,
Right.
And now they have this complete 180 of a president who, wants to embrace COVIDism. I don't know.
So it is a huge reversal. Let us know your thoughts on this in the chat below. We are going to be back tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time with our live show. Tomorrow we're going to be joined by journalist Whitney Webb. We'll be joining us to talk about this latest Epstein list. She's going to be here. We'll also be joined by Kavork Almasian from Syriana Analysis over these Syrian sanctions, because just removing these sanctions, he says, is not enough, because the people are absolutely dying under the, even beyond the sanctions, what these things have done to this country after this earthquake and even before that. So we'll talk about that. We've got a lot of other news we'll be covering. We do have a daily newsletter. Please subscribe to it. Go to redacted.inc and just put in your email, and we have it first thing in the morning for you. So you can read it over your cup of coffee. Again, redacted.inc. Thank you, everyone. Much love to all of you, and we'll see you back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Bye now.